Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anazal Ministries podcast.
Hello, fellow geekologists. Welcome to another episode of What's News, where we're going to geek out on all that is in culture that pops and that we're geeking out on. And it's been a hot minute since I've been on one of these episodes. So I'm looking forward to this big time because I'm hanging out with some of my fellow geeks and we're going to geek out hard on summer blockbuster movies. All right. There's no shortage of things to geek out on. And this is the summer movie edition. And we're titling this a special title and getting clever. Welcome to another episode of prepping for Super Jurassic 4. You know, I practiced that like over and over and over again and still didn't get it right. Andy, I don't know what the deal is. You know, it is practice, what it is.
Only perfect practice makes perfect.
That's right. Welcome, Geekology. This is super fun. I'm with my friend Kevin, my friend Andy, and I've already seen some summer movies, and I'm really looking forward to what's coming, the big three that we're going to talk about, what we're prepping for here in a little bit. We're going to get into some lightning round here in just a minute. Before we do that, I want to thank our supporters, our subscribers, those who smash that like button. And on this video here on YouTube, if we get 50 likes on this video, I just may frolic through some flowers. I don't know. I think I need to mix that up. It's not really luring anybody to smash that like button. So Kevin, do you have any ideas of what I could do if we get 50 likes on this YouTube video?
What if you give viewers an inside look at your fortress of solitude, so your geek cave? Because I know we have your background here, but what if you get a few frolicking through your fortress of solitude? That could be something. That. Yeah, I like frolicking through boxes of comics. I think that would be really interesting.
And I have so many. I would be happy to do that. People may smash that like button with that. Yeah. So here we go. We're gonna prep for Super Jurassic 4. But before we do that, we're gonna get into the lightning round. Yes, we are. So Andy, what is it? Are there some summer movies? Are there some things you've been watching that we really just do some quick hits here?
Sure. So top of mind for me is the Mission Impossible. That's the most recent thing that I saw in the theaters.
Okay.
I probably would put it maybe the weakest story of the Christopher McQuarrie Mission Impossibles. But okay, man, still a lot of fun at the movies. Tom Cruise doing his thing of risking his life for our entertainment. Some fun twists and turns. The thing that most struck me coming out of this one is I have never seen a movie that felt more like reading a comic with editorial footnotes of, you know, see Amazing Spider-Man number 375, webheads, right? I don't know if you've seen it, but this movie just had that feeling of, hey, we're not sure if you remember everything that happened before, so we're going to make sure you know where it happened, what happened,
and yeah.
Don't let you forget it.
I may need those tutorials. It's definitely on my list to see. I remember I ran through all of them leading up to last summer's, and we were like, yeah, we're going to see every single Mission Impossible for the next one. And then now this one dropped and there's so much going on in our lives and so many movies. You're like, oh, we'll get to it eventually. But yeah, definitely want to do it. And I don't even remember what the story is, but I know I'll get to see Tom Cruise running. He'll be on something, jumping off something and doing his stunts, and we'll hear some music and all that kind of action. So, but it's interesting that there's editorial notes of, in case you forgot, there's other movies where things happen that you probably need to remember. That's pretty funny. Yeah. Love it. Love it. Kevin, how about you? What have you been, what's in your lightning round there?
So I've seen about half of these movies, and I agree very much with Andy's assessment on Final Reckoning. It is it was a great Memorial Day watch. I mean, I do think it is the weaker. I rewatched all the Mission Impossible movies right before, and it's like the weaker of the stories, but it was still, I think, not better than 90% of action movies. But the one I really want to highlight on this list here is The Life of Chuck. I caught an early screening of it at the Alamo. Oh, cool. And also, well, you're going to freak out here when I tell the, but I have to tell this little anecdote. I caught an early screening. I loved it. I think it's a really powerful film, and based on a non-horror Stephen King story, written and directed by Mike Flanagan, who's the guy who did Midnight, yep, Mass, Haunting of Hill House, all that. And so the day after I saw it, I don't post on Blue Sky that much, and I only have like less than 100 followers on there. But I wanted to really promote that movie, and I wasn't surprised by this part. So I tagged Mike Flanagan in it, and he reposted it, which that was cool, but that was not even the biggest. You're gonna freak out at the next part, because like obviously he wanted to promote the movie, and he was reposting a lot. Pretty much, if you tag him and you say something nice, he'll repost you there. That is the cool thing about platforms like that. The real talk was about a week later. I was checking my notifications, and none other than Mark Hamill liked my post on there, because he follows my, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh,
so that was, that, yeah, that was intense.
That is that. Yeah. If you would have told, 8-year-old Kevin, when he was watching, right, some Star Wars, one day Luke Skywalker would like his thing.
They'll see, respond to it. Two sentences I wrote. He liked it, but yeah, I'll take it. Yeah, no, okay. That man, and I do have to. I mean, the performances are amazing. He's fantastic. Tom Hiddleston, Karen Gillan, Chiwetel Ejiofor. It's a phenomenal cast. I really think that is the movie that like we need right now. So I cannot recommend that.
Nice.
Enough. And then, others on here, just quick hitting. Like I enjoyed the How to Train Your Dragon remake a lot. I took my niece to that. I'm a big fan of the original trilogy. So this one is pretty much a direct, like, shot for shot remake. But the reason I'm a little more open to it here is because a one like this lends itself to a live action interpretation even more so than a lot of the Disney live action ones that are more, a lot of them lack more of a, like, soul and heart to them. This one was very passionate and visually spectacular. So I enjoyed it a lot. Right. And it's actually the director of the original did the live action as well. So I recommend that.
Nice. Yeah, I'm with you too. I've seen a handful of these that are on our screen right here on those who are watching on YouTube, not only listening, but watching on YouTube. And there's definitely those that I want to see that are on my list. I went to go see on Father's Day. I was like, hey, fam, let's do a movie, then a dinner, or dinner and a movie. And we went to go see The Phoenician Scheme. And we are big Wes Anderson fans. And Wes Anderson, you either love him or maybe, I don't know if there's like a middle ground for Wes Anderson. Is there a middle ground? Most people are kind of like, is this my style? I'm there for the quirkiness and the direction shots and the choices, yeah, being made. And my daughter's a fan. So I was like, I'll go see this one. The cast, of course, always just outstanding. It's just every A-list actor you could ever think of. But we have Benicio del Toro, who just knocks it out of the park. And then there's another actress in here, Mia Threpleton. I think that's Threpleton. I don't know how to pronounce her last name, but she plays his daughter and a nun through this, and she's just absolutely fantastic. I can't tell you what the main plot is or what the moral lesson is or how things played out to the end. I don't know if I understood everything that happened in this movie, which is kind of like Wes Anderson movies, but they, every sentence was clever. I didn't want to leave to go to the bathroom or get more popcorn because I was scared I was going to miss something or a phrase that hinged on the whole movie. And it was just very, very clever. And I really highly enjoyed it. It was very entertaining. So if you like Wes Anderson, it is about as Wes Anderson as you can get. So go see it if you're a Wes Anderson fan. Are you guys interested? Are you guys Wes Anderson fans at all?
I am. I haven't got a chance to see this one yet because basically I was at Alamo like a lot for a week there because I had a caregiver, had more time and stuff. So I was like going to movies one then. I haven't got a chance to see this one yet, but I will. I'm a big Wes Anderson fan. Rushmore is one of my favorite movies ever. And I wrote about him in college. And so I'm very in tune with his style. The last few movies of his, I haven't loved as much. I think Grand Budapest Hotel was his last like great one. Last few have been stylistically fantastic. I haven't been as engaged with the narratives. But I am going to see this one. I'm going to Disneyland next week. So that's, I've been saving money for that. So I'll probably see it when I get back.
There you go. There you go. Cool, cool, cool. Andy, how about you? You're a Wes Anderson guy?
I've enjoyed the Wes Andersons that I have seen. I am interested in this one. My kids actually went and saw it while my wife and I were at the symphony the other day. And they had a good time with it. They thought that I would like it. They recommended it. It was my son's first Wes Anderson experience to the best of our recollection. he was... I think he's still kind of processing what he experienced.
Yeah. That is it. I mean, with all these movies, like we process what we've seen, or we bring into it some expectations, and then we process the end. Was it worth it? We're there to be entertained. And we'll talk about kind of expectations later on, how we manage those or how we're dealing with it. But yeah, I was thoroughly entertained, and I think that's what it does. It, you know, it puts something out there, and you got to think through what did I just see? And I take some time to think about it afterwards. So yeah, I recommend it and hope that, let us know in the comments, folks, your thoughts on your lightning rounds, edition of this. What have you seen? What have you not seen? What are you looking forward to seeing? But here we go. It's time to get to the big three, y'all. You guys ready? Let's do it.
Let's
do it. All right, here we go. The big three. Longer than a year, I couldn't be more excited about these movies. We have Jurassic World coming out July 2nd. We have Superman coming out July 11th. Fantastic Four, July 25th. And in terms of like, they're all kind of mini reboots, wouldn't you say? I mean, they have some different casts, they have different things going on. You have James Gunn picking up the DCU and running with it. You have the Fantastic Four kind of legit in the MCU proper per se. And then a Jurassic World. New cast and they're more dinosaurs, more stuff. So there's some reboots here. So let's hop in and chat. What are we most geeking out about? If you had to pick one out of three, you have to pick one of these. It can't be a tie. It can't be 1.5 or that kind of thing. But if you're going to pick one thing you're most geeked out about with these movies, what are you going to be? Kevin, we'll start with you.
Well, it's no competition for me whatsoever. I think anyone who's listened to the podcast for a while knows how stoked I am for Superman coming up. I'm longtime DC fan, and particularly with everything about this movie in terms of the comics that it's influenced on, some of my absolute favorites. I mean, James Gunn has pointed to Superman for All Seasons, Superman Birthright, All-Star Superman. All of those are some of my favorite stories. He's also drawing heavy emphasis from the animated universe. So yeah. This is no question. I've consumed every piece of media and news about it in the past few years. Fantastic Four, I'm so excited about, but it pales in comparison. I am excited to have, like you said, kind of a proper Fantastic Four being integrated into the MCU. And it'll be, I think it'll be really good. But it's just like, I've waited so long for a proper, really good modern Superman movie that just, you know, feels right and that gets the character. And I mean, look at Jimmy Olsen right there. I mean, that you could not have, that's the amazing thing too. Gideon for Righteous Gemstones could not be better casting. And the thing is too, I told Andy this on a couple catch up, but I listened to the DC Studios official podcast, which you can find on Max or Spotify, and they've been interviewing all the cast members leading up to the movie, and every one of them just feels so right for the guy who's playing Mr. Terrific, the one playing Hawkgirl who's from Last of Us. They all are just so well cast. I just cannot wait for this universe. So it's, I mean, easily Superman. And no offense to Jurassic Park fans, Andy, I see your shirt. The only one on this list I really couldn't care less about is Jurassic Park. It's really, I mean, and it's not, I'm just totally indifferent toward. I've of course seen the original I think I saw the first Jurassic World, but it's as big a Spielberg fan as I am. It's just weird. I've just never really been into this franchise. So like, I appreciate the first one for what it is, but I couldn't really tell you anything about the sequels to the cast or anything. And pretty much the only thing that would compel me to see the new one is if like friends invite me and the cast, I mean, you know, ScarJo and I think Mahershala Ali is in this one too. So that's about the only real draw for me there. But beyond that, I just, you know, with Spielberg, like E.T., Indiana Jones, Close Encounters, Jaws, all of those are my bread and butter. But for whatever reason, I've just never been into dinosaurs. So I've just like, I don't know anything about that. Yeah.
Shots fired. Never been in a dinosaur. Yeah, but, send your emails to kevinschaefer@yahoo.com.
Tweet at me.
Blue sky,
exactly. Yeah. But the only caveat to that is I was a massive Power Rangers fan growing up and pretty much still have. So, I mean, there's the, like, they had the dinosaur, like, tie in Mighty Morphin. They had, like, dinosaurs that their costumes that were based on. But even then, that's a loose thing. But that's about it. Yeah.
I like it. Yeah, all that valid geekology right there, Kevin. All right, Andy, how about you? What are you most geeked out about when it comes to the big three here?
Yeah, if I had to pick the one that I think is the most likely to be a success, I think for all the reasons that Kevin enumerated, the Superman one looks the most solid. I expect to have a good time with that. I don't think I have made it through a trailer for this film without getting a little bit emotional. I think that it's pulling at the Christopher Reeve heartstrings. Yeah. It's got the John Williams theme with a little bit of a different orchestration. So it sounds fresh, but also familiar. Like you said, great cast. So I think that one is the most likely to soar apologetically. The one that I think I'm most invested in, like I want it to do well. And if it does what I think it could do, it might hit for me a little bit more personally is the Fantastic Four film. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, a large part because of the Ryan North comics that I have banged on about on the comic book watch, catch up podcast episodes numerous times. They have just really, I wasn't not a fan of Fantastic Four and I've enjoyed some other runs, Hickman, Fraction. Some of the original Stan Lee stuff is obviously all, and Jack Kirby stuff is all great. But Ryan Northman is just getting me into Fantastic Four at a whole other level. And so, this film, so I'm just kind of primed and super excited for more Fantastic Four, like high concept sci-fi kind of stuff. And so if it gets into that sort of domain, and it's been hard to tell from the trailer so far what kind of movie it's going to be beyond just there's Galactus and the Fantastic Four. So I don't know, right? It could be dumb. It could be awful. It could be yet another, failed Fantastic Four film, but I think it has the potential to hit some high heights or at least to hit the kind of notes that I'm looking for in a summer sci-fi film. And also, if Superman doesn't turn out that great, I can always go back and watch the Christopher Reeve films.
You sure
if
can.
The Jurassic World film turns out to be yet another sort of like 2 to 3 star. Yep, they made very good dinosaurs and did the same plot again as the past few films have been great. That's fine. I can always go back to the Spielberg original. But man, we need a good Fantastic Four film. They put one out every 10 years like clockwork, and it's time for one of them to really hit. Not that the first one didn't have its charms, and the second one had a good cast, but one that just kind of sings on all levels, man, that would be great to see. And, Matt Shackman did some good work with WandaVision. And so I'm optimistic. It's a good cast and coming at a time where the MCU could really use a big win. So I'm hopeful. I'm kind of the most invested in, I really want this to do well. And I will be very sad if it doesn't in a way that the other two, I want them to be good also, but I'll be okay if they're only just decent.
Yeah, I'm,
and Andy,
I'm,
that I mean, is I like,
a, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, God, well, I'll say it. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, like, the timepiece of it, and that it's kind of retro, but not, like, and so they're going to bring it into the MCU. They're really banking on this, but even the image you put up here on YouTube of, like, the old school, like, baseball cards, basketball card with gum, you know, that, like, they're really hoping that it's a throwback to, like, 70s, 80s, and the original kind of feel to first family of Marvel, and then hopefully that'll launch into a new era of MCU post Thunderbolts and what could be coming up soon in terms of One World Under Doom. So I think you're absolutely right. They need a big wind here. Let's see if they can do it. Kevin, what were you gonna say?
No, I was gonna say that, Andy, that's a really good point about, like, I know I said I've been waiting so long for a really good modern Superman movie, and I have, but at the same time, like, let's just say, I don't want to imagine, like, hopefully this movie will be great, but even if it's not that good, there is still some great Superman adaptations that still exist. The Christopher Reeve movie, Superman and Lois, which I've been going through now. Like, I watched back when it premiered, and now I'm going through all that. That is a great show. Smallville, the animated series. So there are a lot of good Superman adaptations out there. I just, like, as someone who was more disappointed by the angle they went with in the Snyder era and Man of Steel, you know, I just wanted a more proper depiction of the character, and I'm really excited that of the tone of this movie. But yeah, I have all those examples. No, for Fantastic Four fans, y'all, the hardcore ones, y'all need a really good, like, a movie. So I agree there.
Yeah, so I'll chime in here. My of all these three, you think the Marvel guy, the guy who grew up on Marvel comics, would pick Fantastic Four, but I'm all about Superman. I could be more geeked out and excited about the Superman movie. And James Gunn, I trust. The cast looks great. The trailer wrecked me on so many levels I've shared before. But man, we get Crypto. Come on, like they're marketing with that. Man, James Gunn, you're genius. But from the look of the trailer and the tone, and like what James Gunn has done with Guardians of the Galaxy and Suicide Squad, and what he's done with Peacemaker stuff, if he's going to lean into, like, authentic Superman, I totally trust him, and I couldn't be more excited. Now, I just got back from Hawaii, and I actually went to the ranch in the place where they shot Jurassic Park in the first one, and the tree they hide behind with the stampede of dinosaurs that jump over them. I went to that tree and on the ground and got my picture taken by there. So I'm all about dinosaurs. I love it. And I'm all about Marvel and Fantastic Four and this them being launched into MCU proper. But I think Superman, I'm there 100%. And yeah, the marketing when it comes to Crypto being on boxes and dog treats and even a comic I'm gonna talk about here in a minute. Like I'm there. I can't wait. I couldn't be more excited about that.
Here at Systematic Ecology, we believe in a few things. We believe that there is freedom in Christ to like what you like. We believe that Christian nationalism is a heresy. And probably most important that I'm going to talk about today, at least, is that we believe the best place to spend your extra cash is on the Systematic Ecology merch store. That's right. This is a shameless shill for our own products. We go through Creator Spring, and we have a few great products on there. Me personally, I'm a big, like, black shirt kind of guy, you know, muted colors. But there's nothing better to, like, throw a little something extra on there with, like, a black baseball cap, the dad hat with the Systematic Ecology logo on it. That's a classic. I just really think if you got a couple, you know, 30 extra dollars, that's for us.
Yeah, my mom's birthday is July 10th, and I'll be in Wilmington with her. But I'll also, like, that night when she goes to bed, I might go to a midnight show, or definitely the 11th. I think that's gonna happen. Cool. So let's shift a little bit. There's what we're most geeking out on, but how are we getting ready for these movies? I do plan to see all three. I'm more excited about Superman, but I'm gonna see all three in the theater. That's my plan. But I am getting ready for this. I will share, just kind of piggybacking on what Andy was saying. Ryan North, what a fantastic comic book creator and author, and he's knocking it out of the park with Fantastic Four. But today, in my pull box was Crypto, The Last Dog of Krypton, number one, written by none other than Ryan North. And what a charming, cute, incredible, heartbreaking story for this dog that I absolutely loved. Love this comic this week. So yeah, I'm watching Superman the animated series. I'm going back to My Adventures with Superman. I'm reading there. DC is calling this the Summer of Superman, and so they're relaunching new number ones and really pulling him out and lift out. I think DC marketing when it comes to comics are doing a great job, at least for hardcore comic fans like me to really jump on. I read Superman. I like Supes. He's one of the original heroes that I grew up on with the Super Friends and the big three of Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman. So I really love him. And I've seen all the movies and it was there. The Christopher Reeves one when I was a kid and love those, but that's how I'm getting ready. I'm all in when they put out a new number one or said, hey, if you like Superman and you're ready for this summer's movie, read this. They got my wallet and what's in it. So that's how I'm getting ready. And of course, Fantastic Four, like all things Pedro Pascal, like what I have not seen him in, you know, he's all over the place. He's there. He's awesome. And then, yeah, I was actually in the valley of the ranch where there were Jurassic CGI giant dinosaurs. So I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready, guys. I couldn't be more ready. Andy, how about you? What are you getting ready for? How are you getting ready for these movies?
Yeah, you know, like you, these are three, you know, bang on. If we can get to opening weekend, that's the plan with the whole family. Everybody's into these films and these franchises. In terms of, you know, pre-watching, pre-reading things, I'm not sure that I'm that I need to get that much more excited. And since all of them are kind of, you know, fresh starting out points, like there's not a lot of backstory that we need to remember. Teaser, you know, I probably want to spend more of my time revisiting Peter David comics in preparation for that yes. episode mm-hmm. than mm-hmm. Necessarily rereading Jurassic Park, as excellent of a book as it is. So I think probably just practically the thing that I'll be doing to get most ready for these films is revisiting the film scores of previous films.
Ah, yeah, you know,
you've got some great music by John Williams for Jurassic Park and Superman, right? Those are in heavy rotation as it is already. So, but you can go dive a little bit more deeply into those. Michael Giacchino also did some good music for some of the more recent Jurassic films. It's a good listen. And here's a weird fact. The 2015 Fantastic Four film has a score that is co-composed by Philip Glass, a like serious composer who had like his only other previous film scores are like these very artsy Martin Scorsese kind of films, or perhaps some other things that I'm forgetting, but equally sort of artsy, avant-garde, not mainstream, not popcorn blockbuster. I don't know where that came from. I would love to know the history of how he can be involved in that project. Cool. But yeah, it's got a score that is co-composed by Philip Glass. Nice. So, you know, if nothing else, we got that out of that 2015 film told on to. The other composer is Marco Beltrami, who is no slouch, but a more familiar name to the world of film music and even superhero film music. I believe he also did some of the Wolverine films, of Logan, and so forth. But so I think that will be my main kind of getting myself psyched is just revisiting the sound worlds of these characters.
Yeah, I like that.
Now that I know about, I missed that crypto comic, that existence of it passing by. So now that I know that there's a Ryan North crypto comic to read, I'll have to check that out too.
Gotta get it. You gotta get it. It's so good. Kevin, how about you? How are you preparing?
So my preparation for Superman has been months long, if not longer, and pretty religious in terms of like, I would say it almost started. So like I started watching Smallville for the first time back at the very beginning of 2024. I know that was it is odd that that's one that I missed, but like I grew up on the animated shows and then I was a big fan of the Arrowverse like in college, but for whatever reason, like Smallville, like I was at the perfect age to watch it when I was a kid, but I just, you know, I finally started it years later, but I started that. And then there's so many other, so My Adventures with Superman, the animated series, revisiting that. Superman and Lois, like I mentioned earlier, I've seen now Christopher Reeve Superman twice on the big screen, one at Alamo a few years ago, and then earlier at the beginning of this year they were playing at Carolina Theater in Durham. for, as part of Film Fest there. So getting to see that on the big screen is always a treat. And then also right now I'm listening to the audiobook of Superman, an unauthorized biography by Glenn Weldon. That's a book I highly recommend. It really takes you through the entire history of the character dating back to 1938 and going through the modern age. And it really does a great job encompassing everything from the comics history, the multimedia history, the, you know, controversy with Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster getting pushed aside and fighting for creators' rights for the longest time and getting entangled in lawsuits there. It's a fascinating book, so highly recommend that. And the audio, like, I actually don't do a ton of audiobooks. I prefer either in print or digital, but the reason I had this one on is the narrator is George Newbern, who voiced Superman in Justice League. So it's really cool having, like, a Superman voice actor do the narration of the book. So highly recommend that one. So yeah, Superman Preparation.
Wait, what's the name of that book again, Kevin? What's the name of that book again?
Yes. It's called Superman, an Unauthorized Biography by Glenn Weldon. I have to look up what year it came out. I have initially heard about it on Screen Crush, and then I looked it up. And yeah, it's an excellent book. So very comprehensive, and highly recommend that. Huh. So yeah. And then comics-wise, too, I mean, I did a reread of Superman for All Seasons a while ago. I'll do one more of All-Star Superman, which you have there on the screen. That is a classic that James Gunn has said has heavily influenced him there. And then, yeah, I'll be talking on the next comic book catch-up episode tomorrow about Superman Unlimited number one, which I don't know if you got to see that. That was part of DC's.
Very good.
Tomorrow. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's Mark Waid, right?
No, that is Dan Slott, which is his first, like,
yeah,
yep, gotcha. His first DC ongoing comic, which I don't know how Christian Ashley will react to that one. I know he's got a lot of beef with Dan Slott, but it's a good one. But yeah, but there's a lot of Mark Waid stories too. Birthright is one of the best.
Yeah.
So yeah, Superman Preparation. I don't think I could be more ready at this point, but it has been ongoing. Again, it's a movie I've just been following ever since it was announced and just relentlessly consuming every bit of news about it. There was also a really good interview with James Gunn in Rolling Stone the other day that I highly recommend. So that was great too. But and then as far as the others, for Fantastic Four, yeah, I don't know, I need to check out the Ryan North run. But I was just gonna ask you guys for some other, like, because Fantastic Four, I mean the characters are great. I have like some of the Marvel Masterworks original stuff, so the original stories. But I would love for some recommendations for if you have any kind of like either one-off stories or some like, you know, essential graphic novels to read before. I have my tickets for both Superman and Fantastic Four. And we've got about a month till Fantastic Four. So if there's any, like, from you two who are huge Marvel fans and big-time readers there, if there are any comics you really think I should check out before the movie, I would love to know.
Nice. Yeah. Check out that Ryan North run. And yeah, I think... man, your recommendation about like that biography, because Superman isn't like the first superhero of all time, but he's definitely the original, the OG of superheroes of like the last 100 years, right?
Yeah.
And so you can make the case that the Norse gods and the Greek gods were the original like Justice League Avengers and misfits and kind of superheroes that people geeked out on. But Superman is from the beginning. It kind of all started there. Everybody chased that money and that kind of popularity all the way through for 100 years or so. So I wouldn't mind checking that out. And then, you know, the Fantastic Four are the first famous, the one that Stan Lee kind of launched it. So jump in, you know, to the old school Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, original, Fantastic Four run that they created, because that's really what created the Marvel Universe as we know it. I would say, Andy, I don't know if you have any other things you want to add there with, as a scientist, you know, of course, should we make dinosaurs? Should we create them? But Fantastic Four in terms of recommendations there.
Yeah. I'm struggling to come up with specific like single issues, cause I get that you don't want to read a 50 issue run. The first thing that popped in my mind, partly because it's right there on the screen and partly because it's, you know, you get a 2-for-1, is there was a Ryan North story, and I apologize, I'm not remembering the issue number off the top of my head, where the Fantastic Four wind up in a dimension where wind up on Earth, where all the sapient beings are dinosaurs, right? So you can see the cover art there.
Yes, that's so good.
There's a dinosaur Thor and a dinosaur Captain America and so forth. So they are interacting with the dinosaur Avengers and some other dinosaur villains and so forth, while their dinosaur counterparts, the dinosaur Fantastic Four, wind up on Earth 616. And, you know, hijinks ensue from that as well. It's a two-parter, I believe.
Yeah, and, you're right.
Then it's come back in One World Under Doom. But yeah, that was a fun story.
Yeah, Doom. There's a dinosaur Doom.
Yeah.
And it comes back. It comes back around. And more empty. a Tyrannosaurus Rex Doom in Doom armor. You know, come on. Yeah, that comics. What are we doing?
Yeah.
So good.
And then there was another really good one that was a done in one. And most of the Ryan North stories are done in one issue. So really, you could almost pick up any random issue from his run and get a complete story and get kind of the vibe. But there was another one in particular that was really good, where they interact with a sentient AI that was originally created by somebody with nefarious purposes, but then the AI kind of becomes independent. And there's just kind of this ongoing back and forth of them trying to figure out how to even like communicate with this AI that doesn't have a physical body and has a very different kind of mental process. And so it touches on those kind of themes of how do you communicate across barriers of not just language, but sort of experience and different types of consciousness and so forth. Some really clever ideas in there, some fun back and forth between Reed and this AI. And so that's another great story. I will have to, we'll have to find some way to get issue numbers out to folks. Maybe I can drop it in the comments of the YouTube video in the future. But
there's enough AI Google stuff there that you just say Fantastic Four, Avenger Dinosaurs, they'll let you know. But I love that pool because it does combine Fantastic Four and Jurassic Park, and it just all mingles together. They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing, and it's fun. I'm there for it. Great, great, great.
Also, just to clarify, I definitely don't want to make it sound like I'm dissing on the Jurassic Park franchise. It's just like, one, I'm just like, not that, but I know it is like, you know, beloved by so many, and I'm absolutely happy that if this movie does well, I hope it does. But yeah, I would be interested if they ever were to, because I know, like, particularly because I know the Crichton book is a lot darker, I would be interested if the Jurassic Park franchise was ever bold enough to go into a more horror angle, because they've always had more of an adventurous tone to it. And if they went full on sci-fi horror, I think that would be something to really possibly separate it from previous installments.
I remember a conversation I had with my camp director. I was working at summer camp this summer that came out. We all went to see it. We all loved it. I didn't read the book, but I remember coming back to camp and our camp director, Luke Luther, I got back. He was so mad because he had read the book and it freaked him out and it scared him. And he was like, they Disney-fied it. They made it soft. They made it like this. He goes, talk about expectations and your geek. I didn't know what a geekologist was back then at that time, but we were all still doing it whether we knew it or not, and Luke was like so pissed that they made it a kiddie movie and they didn't make it exactly the way that made him feel when he read the book. So yeah, it made me want to say like, maybe I need to read this book and see what the tone is leading into it. But big dinosaurs chasing you can be scary. Let's make the horror element.
They've made some noises that's the direction they're going with this new film. There's been some news posts online about revisiting sequences that were planned for the first movie or things from the book that they didn't adapt previously. We'll see if that comes through. I believe it's still a PG-13 film. It's still, hoping for that, four quadrant blockbuster kind of audience. So we'll see if it actually is any different than any of the others. But I think they have made noises in that direction. But I wouldn't be surprised if you went back and found that they've said that in the past and then we got the films that we got. So take that with a grain of salt. But that idea is out there.
Yeah, I hear you. Good stuff. All right. So we all know we got to listen to some geeks out there, and we're getting ready for these movies. And listen, do you hear in a distance? Listen.
Yeah.
Those are the geeks who are crying out, we want a good Fantastic Four. We want a good Superman. We want a legit Jurassic Park. And so how do we manage expectations? We could be more excited. I'm trying to go in with reasonable expectations. I've been lured and duped by great trailers. If they're giving out Oscars for trailers, man, there's plenty of people out there who deserve Oscars, but yet didn't quite match up to the movie that I went in to see. How are we managing our expectations leading to these movies? We're excited. Could be more excited. Kevin, we'll start with you. You're excited about Superman. You're prepping for it. Again, we alluded to it earlier about, like, we all have stuff. We still have stuff we really love. There's long histories with these franchises that we can go back to. Even with Star Wars fans, you can go back to the movies that you love. They'll never take that away. But how are you managing your expectations leading to Superman here and up?
I will say it is challenging in this case in particular, because I am so excited. I haven't been this stoked for a movie in a while, because, like, I'm probably, like, going back to when Force Awakens came out, you know, like, there was so much hype and expectation for that. And I still enjoyed Force Awakens a lot, but, like, you know, I know that's a whole lot of conversation, yeah. The sequel trilogy.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was like, but, you know, in recent years, though, there have been ones where I'm like, hey, if it's great, that's awesome. But I'm also not going to be that disappointed if it's bad, because it's like, okay, there are plenty of other good superhero movies out there or whatever. But this one, I have built up a lot of expectation and I'm trying to temper it. I'm also, so just looking at this slide here, it is, so if you want to know, like, how, you know, the Superman franchise in 70s and 80s went from Christopher Reeve, Richard Donner, Superman to Quest for Peace, it is a fascinating history. I mean, to, like, why the tone shifted, how Richard Donner got let go, all of these things happening behind the scenes. It is a fascinating story, so I do recommend that. But I will say, I think it's safe to say that, like, even if I don't like the movie as much as I'm building it up to be, I think it's safe to say that it's not going to be a Superman 4. So the worst that could happen is maybe we'll get something that's more along the lines of, like, Superman Returns. It's like, okay, not nearly as great as we expected, but still has its elements there. I still am very hopeful for the movie, but I don't think we're going to get something that is a complete bomb, just based on everything about the characters. At least that's the thing. At least, like, the character casting and everything else has been so spot on. We'll see. But I think I'm just trying to, you know, I think the excitement is important, because so often in this day and age, geek culture has become more cynical, and you're very quick to, you know, judge movies before they even come out. And so I think it's exciting for me to have a really giddy optimism about something like this, and for it to have a very, like, all of us have had an emotional reaction to the trailer. You know, so I don't regret having all the optimism and the joy built up to it, even if it's not as good as I hope it will be. And if it is, that's great. This is an instance where I don't regret having a lot of optimism, a lot of build up to it, because it's just been a really cool project. I mean, just in terms of how this movie came together and how the reboot happened. I mean, just a few years ago, The Rock was talking about taking over DC, and there was just so much. I mean, there was so much going on and so much friction in the DC universe behind the scenes. The fact that now we're in this moment where, this Superman movie is coming out, it's happening, and James Gunn is, you know, has more projects on the way. I think that's really exciting. It's a new era. This is, and it's okay to have just unfiltered optimistic joy about it all.
Yeah, part of that the journey going into it is, like, leading up to it, right? Like the trailer and the excitement to go. And I think what we've tried to say here at Systematic Ecology is that, like, go in with standards, go in with your fandom, but also remember that, like, a ton of people put a lot of hard work into this movie, and a lot of actors and directors. And you read that end credit scene where just a long list of names who've worked on it. There's a lot of love, sweat, and tears went into this. So be gracious. You can not like something, but you can also not like it and not be a jerk about it and say, like, maybe that wasn't for me. So I think managing your expectations, being realistic with expectations, being honest with how you're feeling and why you're feeling it. But I think a lot of how we are good stewards of our fandom and our geekology is why we're here as a podcast, as a movement, as a community, to help us kind of process through these things and share what we like, what we don't like, and then help people see things from a different angle. So that's kind of why we prep for these things and then talk about our expectations, and then also process it at the end and be realistic with it too. So yeah, that's our square of advice when it comes to that. Andy, how about you, bud? How are you handling your expectations leading up to these?
You know, the thing that's kind of most on my mind, and I apologize, this is getting a little sentimental, but I think you can have a positive experience watching a film, even if the film itself isn't great. Why that's on my mind, Superman 4, I put up here because I just went in and said, what's the lowest ranked movie of all these different franchises, just to kind of remind us where they've been, what are the highs and the lows. But Superman 4 for me will always be a positive memory because it's one of the few, or possibly the only movie that I saw in the theater was just my grandfather and I. He was a World War II veteran, and he got tinnitus because he was a airplane mechanic in World War II. And so all that time up close without ear protection against airplane motors left him with tinnitus. And so he tended to avoid loud experiences like at graduations and whatever, like events like that. He would kind of hang out in the outside or in the background to avoid the noise. But he didn't really go to the movies, but he took me to see Superman 4. He wanted us to have that experience together. He was excited that there was a Superman movie that we could go see together in the theaters, because the first few, where I was too young to see in the theaters. And so that was a positive memory, even if the film, hasn't stood the test of time. And, this summer, looking ahead, my son started college last year. My daughter is off to college in the fall. She's going all the way to Edmonton, Alberta, in Canada. So leaving the country and going several thousand miles away. Obviously, they'll be back home. Obviously, these are not the last movies that we will see together, but this is definitely a moment of change in our family. And so, I think it'll be fun to go and see all these movies together, the four of us, just to have the experience of being together, even if all the movies are a bit goofy.
Wow. So I love that. I love that.
Hey, podcast fam. Want to stay even more connected with the show? We've got you covered. Check us out on Instagram and Blue Sky, where we're posting exclusive content and bonus videos and fun updates that you won't get anywhere else. From sneak previews of upcoming episodes to bonus content, our social accounts are the best way to keep the conversation going. Plus, it's a great spot for you to interact with other listeners and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. When you follow us, it helps us grow and continue bringing you the content that you love. Whether it's a funny poll, a quick clip from today's episodes, or just random thoughts, you'll feel more plugged into everything we're doing. So go ahead and hit that follow button on Instagram and Blue Sky. It's one more way to be a part of the show and keep the good vibes flowing. Thanks for being a part of the family, and we can't wait to see you there.
And again, like, someone's worst movie is someone's favorite because of a certain reason. And we got to remember that too, going into these things. And there are those who manage their expectations by seeing no trailers and no hype, and then go into the movie kind of cold so they can do that. And some like want to read up all about it and really get know everything they need to know about the movie before going in, so they can be well informed. And I think there's no wrong or right. It's just kind of like how you do those movies and leading into it. And then, sometimes these movies are a victim of its own kind of hype machine because they're under a lot of pressure to make money and executives. And so, they're going to promote. Like, if a certain thing doesn't do well, they're like, well, the marketing wasn't great, but then, then it doesn't do well. And they're like, well, you set expectations too high and nobody liked it and blah, blah, blah. So yeah. All that's a big part of how we do this Geekology together. I think for me, how I'm managing, I couldn't be more excited about Superman, and I really want Fantastic Four to succeed. And, I don't really have many expectations for Jurassic World other than, like, let's see some dinosaurs. And I was there in Hawaii and saw some place where they shot this stuff. Let's see how they do it. Let's see the story they tell. But I think for me, the most dangerous expectations out there is with Superman, because I'm so looking forward to it, and I don't want to be disappointed and halfway through it go, what are we doing here? But again, I really trust the people who are making it, and I'm going to go in with kind of an open mind, open heart to let them tell the story that they want to tell in these movies, and then we'll talk about it after and figure it out. So any other words of wisdom out there to our listeners and fans that we need to like share with them as they go into these movies this summer?
I think for Fantastic Four, I'm just not worried, because they've already scratched the bottom of the barrel quite a few times. So it's kind of it can't be worse. I don't know.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I think at the least, we've got a good cast, and the effects look cool, and Galactus looks amazing from that image that they've shown. I mean, it doesn't even have to be amazing. If it's a decent movie, that's better than where they've been before.
I'm ready for the trolls to launch about the female Silver Surfer and gender swapping and that kind of thing. But again, the actress who's a part of that, I'm a big fan of, and let's see how they tell that story. If it's from a slightly alternate dimension and they're gonna bring it to MCU, you know, why not? Why not do something a little different and see what they can do there? So let's see how they tell that story. Andy, any other?
I hope she has the Anna Delvey voice.
Yeah.
I think that would just melt people's brains. it's an alien accent. No human being has ever had that voice before. So I think it would fit.
Let's do it.
Oh, I should say one more thing about that. If, let's say, the Fantastic Four isn't that good, there is always one great Fantastic Four movie we have, and that is The Incredibles. So that's still the best Fantastic Four movie ever.
There you go. You just won Christian Ashley back. You brought up Dan Slott, and now you brought up The Incredibles. And so now Christian Ashley is back on on the thing. Sorry, my lights just went out. Back on. The lights went out on me on The Incredibles. You're like, that's it. We're done. So good. All right. So let's move into recommendations. Like, in terms of like what we've talked about, what do you recommend? Maybe it's a book, maybe it's a comic to get ready for these movies, or if it's something out there that's already out there that you think people should watch, that you saw that we didn't get to in the lightning round. Some recommendations, real quick hits around recommendations. Kevin, you mentioned, hey, we have the news of Spaceballs 2. Are you going to recommend that yet, even though we haven't seen any footage?
At 100%. Oh my gosh. I love too how they announced it with like the crawl there saying like, we've had, you know, like they ran through like all the Star Wars movies and all the spinoffs. And then we've had, we've had an animated Lion King movie, a live action animated Lion King movie, a live action animated Lion King prequel. Like I was in tears there. So, that was brilliant, but yeah, absolutely Spaceball 2. Beyond that, I would say, yeah, definitely the Superman biography book that I was talking about. I think that's essential reading for any comics enthusiast, a pop culture enthusiast. It's a great book. And also Superman for All Seasons is, again, one I mentioned earlier as one of my favorite Superman stories of all time, that I reread quite often. And it was the inspiration for Smallville. It was a huge inspiration for James Gunn, that by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. That one never gets old. Yeah. So highly recommend that one.
They gave out the first issue of that at Free Comic Book Day this year because they were just getting people ready for that stuff. So I did grab that. I haven't read that graphic novel all the way through, but I have that first issue and really liked it. Tim Sale couldn't be a better legendary comic book artist when it comes to that. So recommendation, go watch the opening crawl to the teaser for Spaceballs 2. You will not be disappointed. It's classic. Andy, how about you? What are you recommending?
If I can get out of the movie theater and onto the sofa for a minute, I would recommend the Murderbot TV show on Apple TV Plus. If you are not familiar, Murderbot started as a series of novellas by Martha Wells. I think there's 6 or 7 of them out by now. And they are, you know, fun sci-fi stories in a world, you know, where humans are expanding out into the galaxy, all kinds of star systems. And they have these autonomous security robots that go with them to keep them safe. And so that's the Murderbot is the title character, is one of these security robots who manages to hack the code that keeps him required or keeps them required to obey orders. And so they become more autonomous and they just go on adventures. And really what they want to use that autonomy for is to just stay at home and watch TV. They're willing to do their job if they have to. They were willing to interact with people if they have to, but really just, they just want to be left alone to watch their TV, to watch their stories. And so it's a very relatable kind of story. And so they've turned that into a live action TV show that has been a lot of fun. Definitely R-rated, so not for the little kids, but a lot of fun and a faithful adaptation. And then also Fantastic Four prep. It's Poker Face time. Poker Face season 2 with Natasha Lyonne is, I don't remember if we know who she is in Fantastic Four or not, but she has been announced as part of the cast of Fantastic Four.
Nice.
And so if you need a little bit of Natasha Lyonne prep, Poker Face is Rian Johnson's series. It's a kind of Matlock throwback of murder mystery TV show, but you know who did it from the start. It's not about who did it. It's about how they did it and how Natasha Lyonne's character figures out how they did it. So just fun mysteries in the vein. If you like Knives Out and Glass Onion and that story, it's more of that kind of twisty, turny, snarky, fun murder mystery plot. So those are my recommendations.
Yeah, I like that. Natasha Lyonne, my family ran into her at New Year's Eve in Puerto Rico, and they were like, "We think we know her." And then they looked her up and they're like, "Yep, we do know her. She's an actress." And they like gave each other winks and smiles at a party in Puerto Rico. So I think that's a good recommendation. We have to pull that up. I love it. Yeah, and then we have Christian chiming in here with Aliens vs. Fishers has been pretty solid. The final issue came out today as of recording this going live. I agree. The art, it's not Ribic, Hickman. If you like the Alien franchise, man, it's really, 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 really good. All right. And so I will recommend Crypto, The Last Dog of Krypton, number one, Ryan North, Mike Norton, Ian Herring, DC Comics, Ryan North, Ryan DC. And yeah, I couldn't be more. I love dogs. I love super dogs. And I love Superman and I love comics and I like what Ryan North does. So, man, you put all those together, man, that's a dang good comic. And I don't know if how long this series is going to be. I'm sure it'll be a short series, limited series, but I will definitely get I even know how it's going to end, but I'll probably have this trade paperback and single issues on my shelf. So love it. Y'all chime in and let us know in the comments, what are you geeking out on? What movies you're most looking forward to? How are you managing your expectations? Let us know if there's a movie that we haven't talked about that you saw this summer or anytime that you're like, hey, I would really love to hear you guys banter and geek out on this particular movie. We'd be happy to do that. Reach out to us. Let us know. We are super excited to geek out with you over this summer. We will keep this podcast going. Thank you, supporters and listeners and those who share with your friends and Patreons. Patrons, thanks. Thanks so much for geeking out with us. And we'll come back around after we've seen these movies. We could do another follow-up about what we think about them. So stay tuned when it comes more to Geekology. Andy, Kevin, myself, Will, others, Christian, who was watching online and chimed in the comments. Thanks. We love you guys. And remember, share the faith, share the geek.
Hey guys, Christian here to talk about our YouTube page. That's where you can go find us at youtube.com/@systematicgeekology. We have exclusive stuff there, exclusive videos where you can just hear other topics that you'll never hear on the podcast proper. These include things like comic book catch up, where we're discussing the newest comics that we're reading, Friday Night Frights, where Joe Day and I explore a cryptozoological, paranormal, ufological item of discussion. Has a lot of good fun there. Have a lot of great times with him. We have spontaneous YouTube shorts that we decided to do, a topic we wanted to discuss. They're in a very short form. We do them there as well. You can interact with us live as we're recording like a What's New episode or something like that. You have something you want to chime in? Well, how can you do it unless you head over to youtube.com/@systematicgeekology. All right, guys. See ya.
Hello there, listener. Thanks for listening. This is Evan Garcia. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We just wanted to come in and remind you that this episode is part of a bigger network of podcasts called the Anazal Podcast Network. We have great shows like the Whole Church Podcast, Kung Fu Pizza Party, and the Homily with Pastor Chill Will. Chill Will, the podcast has sermons from our host, Pastor Will. Great sermons every time. The Kung Fu Pizza Party is Brandon Knight showing his expertise and his passion for everything Kung Fu films. And he dispenses a bunch of wisdom. Great show. And the Whole Church Podcast, where Josh and TJ interview people from different denominations and church traditions to pursue greater church unity. It's a great podcast to see what other denominations are concluded. And we just want to say thank you so much for listening. See you next time.